This podcast is for general information only. It is not intended as a substitute for general healthcare services. If you have medical conditions, you need to see your doctor. Use of this information is at the user's own risk. Welcome to FitRx with Dr. Greg Dennis. Join me as we challenge the standard sick model of healthcare. This is your source for everything health, wellness, prevention, fitness, biohacking, and more. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of FitRx. I'm your host, Dr. Greg Dennis. Have a great guest for you today just to talk everything health and wellness and fitness. And so my guest is Fitz Kohler. She is a fitness innovator who has a master's degree in exercise and sports sciences from the University of Florida. I'm not going to go through everything. She's done a lot of stuff, but she just teaches a lot of fitness. She's been on TVs. She's a spokesperson. She's a race announcer, and she has her own business and website called Fitzness, FITZNESS.com. I'm sure we'll talk about that. So anyways, anybody who's just a fitness fanatic is a friend of mine. And so I'm just anxious to talk to her and learn from her and her story. She's also a breast cancer survivor, which I'm sure ties into her fitness, and we'll get into that, I'm sure. But anyways, looking forward to what she has to say. Ms. Fitz, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dr. Greg. It's so nice to be here chatting with someone who I think we have so much in common with as our thought processes.
Absolutely. Well, tell us, if you will, just kind of about yourself. I mean, have you always been into fitness, or just kind of tell us what got you interested in that and a little bit about your journey along the way and how that got you to what you're doing today?
Yeah, so I'll try to keep it brief, but I actually started teaching fitness right before I turned 15. I had blown my knee out playing soccer and had knee surgery. And along the way, before my surgery, I thought, well, I really like this physical therapy thing. Maybe I could do that. I liked the gym environment. I liked the exercises. I liked the concept of helping people. And I thought maybe I'd like to be a physical therapist. And then I had my knee surgery and I was put in this huge cast, and I have about 40 staples in my knee, and the staples come out and the doctor sends me downstairs to physical therapy, which I was excited to go to. And then that PT started messing with my incision, and I thought, ugh, that's gross. I would never want to do that because I'm super squeamish, Dr. Greg. I could not do what you do. So PT was out for me. But when I was finishing up physical therapy, the therapist told my mom, get her to a gym and have her continue strength training, or she's going to re-injure this knee. And so she did. She lied. She told them I was 15 so I could join Spa Lady in Fort Lauderdale. And I started going. I really enjoyed it. Again, I was 14. So she was dropping me off and picking me up, and I would strength train. And I started doing group fitness classes, and I thought the instructors were so cool. And I had been working at Cinnabon, and I got sick of that manager. She was real mean, Ronnie. To heck with you, Ronnie. But I left Cinnabon and I applied at the gym, and they said, well, have you ever taught fitness before? And I said, no, but I'd love to give it a try. And they said, how about Friday night? And this was a Tuesday, and thank God I'm a gamer, because I said, okay, I'll do it. I wasn't afraid. And I practiced a little routine in my mirror at home, and I showed up at the gym, and I told the 30 something women who were attending the class, I think it was 30 minutes of low impact exercise. And I told them, I said, hey, this is my first time teaching a class. I'll look forward to your constructive criticism when we're done. And when I was done, they said, that was great. They told me to be a little louder, which makes me laugh, because now I'm widely known for being a very noisy person. And it just went great. And then my career just really progressed, and it took all these twists and turns. I've taught all over the world. I've taught on television, on radio. I have books out. I'm a corporate spokesperson. I do a ton of keynote speaking, and I believe more in fitness today than I did back then. I mean, back then I knew, hey, this is fun, and this is really the way to help people. This is a way for people to take control of their own existence. But I believe even more so in it now. I just love it so much, and I'm proud to be a part of other people's success.
That's awesome that you, I guess, get to, you know, do your passion for a living
I
You
chose
know,
it. Everybody
yeah.
can, right?
Yeah. You know, I've always said if I guess I get to incorporate a little bit of that in what I do. But I love the gym and stuff as well. I mean, we were talking beforehand, I've done marathons, I've done CrossFit for many, many years. I've done just lifting, I've done a lot of different things. I would love just to like be a personal trainer. that's like my dream job is to go from a
Wow.
doctor to a
Okay.
personal trainer, but that doesn't pay the bills very well.
No, I would never. No, that's not a living. Most people could have a house and a car and take their kids to
That's it. But
a
anyway,
great vacation on.
that's awesome that you've just been able to make a career, you know, out of something that you're very passionate about. So it started early on, and so I'm assuming your love for fitness just it sounds like evolved kind of through college and then early adulthood to kind of take us through all that.
Yeah, I mean, at first I loved it and I thought it was fun and I did see people thriving because of it and I loved helping them. But the more you know, the more you know, the more I jumped on board as I took those classes in exercise physiology and so forth. You learn about the spinal column and you're like, damn it, it's important to be strong, structurally strong, right? When you learn about your metabolism and most people burn on average 10 calories per pound of body weight per day. Well, boy, does that equal simple math for achieving your ideal weight? It's weight loss is a no-brainer. It's the most simple, stupid formula in the world. And what I really don't like, Dr. Greg, is all the people in my industry that butcher the truth and they lie and they steal from decent, hardworking people that want nothing more than to feel good in their body and be proud of the way they look and be pain-free. And there's these vultures selling pills and powders and snake oil and promising all sorts of unattainable achievements based on lies. And most of that makes people give up their money and then they suffer. They suffer, 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 and they never get where they want to be. So besides being, a fitness professional who's focused on making fitness understandable, attainable, and fun, I love to be that consumer watchdog, basically fist fighting with my words, the horrible people in my industry that are taking advantage, because I want people to stand up for themselves, know the difference, and not fall victim to those predators.
Well, very nice. So you studied this in college. I mean, you had a passion for all this. And then at what point, how did that lead into fitness? And then I guess expand on that, just kind of what fitness is, or maybe what it started out being and how that's evolved and what you do with that now.
Yeah, so my career in fitness really took off pretty quickly. It went from teaching in a gym to teaching on a cruise ship to presenting all over the world to teaching on television, which that was a big turning point for me because I two things. Number one, I found my skills were transferable, and not everyone who teaches in front of a class can really make that transition to a camera. They're two different animals, but thankfully, I was able to make that transition. But once my show started airing, Cardio Jam, strangers started approaching and saying, I love your show and I've lost 17 pounds or my back no longer hurts. And I felt like, wow, this is really where I want to be. And what I had figured out pretty early on is that fitness is not a career for most folks. It's not, you can't work at a gym and make a great living, no matter what gym you work at. And there's never going to be a benefit and there's never going to be a day off or a sick day. So I knew I didn't want to do that. And I really was wavering on whether I would stick with fitness and unless I figured it out. And then I did figure it out. I thought, okay, I could make a pretty good amount of money and impact a lot of people via mass media and speaking. Speaking is something I've always prioritized. And I worked very hard to be a clear, concise speaker that doesn't stammer and ah, and someone who can captivate a room, right? So I was about 20 years old where a friend of mine who was an attorney, he said, you need to incorporate. I said, why? And he said, because you have a legal protection with a corporate shelter and for branding, it just makes a lot of sense. So I was working on another video project and I was racking my brain on what do I name this thing? And then for some reason, my first name fits so nicely into fitness. It was like I was born to do what I do. So I incorporated at 20. I invested in the trademark back then, which was a really good decision too. I'm so glad I did that. And my brand is gimmick-free, attainable form of fitness. I want everybody to understand what it's all about, know that they can attain it, and know that it can be fun.
And so do you do that through, I guess, do you have videos, like fitness videos, like when somebody goes to your website, kind of walk us through what they're going to find there and just kind of what you do through fitness?
Yeah, thank you. So everything I do is mass media. I don't do any personal training. I don't do anything in a gym setting where you meet people on a Wednesday night. Everything I do is for mass impact. So I do have a core training DVD that people can purchase and download. And I have four different books I've written, from the Everything Flat Belly Cookbook to the Cancer Comeback Series, which we can discuss another time. But fitness.com is jam-packed with tons of free information. And that's really where I hang my hat, is I have made it absolutely an excuse-free proposition to be fit. If you go to fitness.com, right on the cover, you'll find the exact formula for weight loss. It's that simple, stupid formula for managing your own caloric intake, choosing foods that help versus choose that hurt, foods that hurt. You never have to be perfect. It's just making good choices and eating within your desired boundaries, right? And then exercise. I probably have 100 free workout videos on the cover of fitness.com. You click on videos and it'll lead you to little back workouts and chest workouts and abdominal workouts. And if you're someone who thinks, gee whiz, I would like to exercise, but I don't know how, there I am guiding you through it. So everything I do, whether I'm writing for magazines or I'm speaking on stages for corporations, you know, the corporations, they either hire me to do two things. It's reach out to their customer and associate their brand with high level fitness and health, or they bring me in to speak to their employees, knowing that a healthy workforce is far less likely to call in sick, far more likely to be very productive, increase that bottom line. So I don't know. It doesn't matter to me who I'm talking to. I love to connect with people and compel them to take their health into their own hands.
You mentioned that on your website, you talk about on there, you know, maybe how to lose weight, you know, healthy way. Talk about that if you will, because most of my listeners want to optimize their health. I mean, that's kind of what I like to specialize in. And I know that there's middle-aged women that listen that struggle with weight loss. Talk about just, you know, your recommendations in regards to that. When people come to you and they say, look, I've tried this, I've tried that, I just can't lose weight. I mean, walk us through that.
Okay, so there's a couple of things there. First of all, for the people who think they can't lose weight, that their body has this happy weight that is just overweight, that's a lie. That's a myth. That's untrue. I'm 40 pounds lighter than I was in college. So I used to think my body just liked to be that weight, and it didn't. There were a lot of problems when I was that weight. Number two, if you think you can't lose weight, well, okay, let's say you're stranded at sea with nothing but a couple of gallons of water. Will you lose weight? You will. So your body is capable of losing weight. You just have to tell it to. And third, none of these diets work. None of them. Now, they might work short term, but there's so much suffering and misery involved that there's no way you're going to continue on with intermittent fasting for the rest of your life, or keto, or whatever nonsense people are throwing at you. What you need to learn how to do is eat the right amount of the right food for the size that you want to be. It's not about suffering and restriction. It's about health and nourishment. Our bodies need food. And I remember when I was in grad school, I kind of felt like I had maxed out on some of the information and fitness. So I started reading journals and learning from scientists who had done all this research. And I came across a study that said, which is widely accepted, that most humans burn about 10 calories per pound of body weight per day. And I was overweight at this time. And I thought, 10 calories per pound of body weight per day. So if you're, for we'll stick with round numbers, if you're a 200-pound person, and we're not counting in your workout routine, we're just saying just to survive, our body burns about 2,000 calories per day. If you're 200, that's 200 times 10, you get 2,000 calories. We know that you're burning calories as you walk around your house, brush your teeth, drive to work, you're pumping blood through your body, digesting food. All of these things require caloric or calories. So if you weigh 200, you burn about 2,000. If you would like to weigh 150 pounds, all you need to do is eat the exact amount that is required to sustain a 150-pound person. So if you're 200 pounds and you're staying there, we know you're consuming at least 2,000 calories a day. Whether it's good food or bad food, it doesn't matter. You're You're breaking even. If you're gaining weight, we know that you're consuming more than 2,000. If you would like to lose weight, you can consume less than 2,000 calories. You consume less that is required to maintain your weight. So it's as simple as choose your goal weight. Let's say it's 142 pounds. You just put a zero on the end. Now your daily caloric budget is 1,420 calories. It's simple, simple math. And it works. It works because I've guided millions of people towards both massive and small weight loss amounts, whatever their goal weight is. Two things I always tell folks, don't look at a chart on your goal weight. I think we all know what our fighting weight is. Everybody knows, hey, I feel best at 173 or 125, whatever it is, you have that number. The only person that makes sense for you to discuss your goal weight with would be your physician. Go into your physician and say, hey, I'm thinking about losing 30 pounds or 50, or am I the right weight? Maybe that's a good person to bounce things off of. But yeah, you pick your goal weight, your formula becomes that goal weight plus a zero. And then ideally, what you do is choose more nutritious foods than unnutritious foods. So if you've got 1,500 calories a day to play with, okay, well, let's say 1,300 of those calories are spent in the produce department, lean protein sources, healthy carbohydrates, maybe some lean dairy. And then if you got 200 calories to spend on maybe some cookies or chocolate or a glass of wine, whatever floats your boat. It's not about being perfect. It's not about completely removing a food group. It's about you being reasonable and goal-oriented for your size. That's where the exact formula for weight loss comes in, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay. Now, obviously you're a fitness fanatic, and so how do you incorporate, the exercise part into all that in somebody's weight loss regimen?
Yeah, so fitness does, there's not a one size fits all on working out. I work in the running industry. I probably host about 30 of the most iconic large running events in the United States every year. Love running. I own a school running program called the Morning Mile. I'm a big fan of walking, especially. However, not everybody likes to walk or run. And okay, don't. You can do swimming or biking or whatever, but there are four pillars of fitness that everybody needs to pursue no matter what. And without one of these pillars, you don't qualify as fit. So, cardiovascular and respiratory capacity, you got to be able to have some stamina. That huffy puffy exercise makes your heart and lungs grow stronger. So that's cardio. Strength, total body strength. We want to be resilient and powerful. We want to be able to lift, press, push, and pull against resistance that makes us less likely to be injured, more capable of doing things we want to do. Flexibility matters. Your great range of motion prevents you from sprains, strains, and tears. It always also prevents us from those aches and pains. Like nobody ever says, hey, my back is stiff and means it in a good way, right? Our joints are made to move in all sorts of wonderful directions, and our muscles are quite flexible or pliable if we work on that. So cardio, strength, flexibility, and the last pillar of fitness is balance. And that one's really important because if we don't have good balance, we fall down, and nobody likes a broken hip or a concussion or a black eye. So, if you're committed to being fit, know that you have to be proficient in all four areas of fitness. Because, for example, if you're a marathon runner who can't do five push-ups, are you really fit? If you're a bodybuilder who can't touch his toes, or a yoga instructor who can't climb a flight of stairs without huffing and puffing, those people aren't fit. So, you need to have a little bit of each pillar of fitness. And you go as far as you want to go.
What do you, with you being a runner, I'm just kind of curious your take on this because we talked a little bit beforehand. I used to run a lot, and I see some runners and people who want to, they want to lose weight, they want to get healthy, and they choose to run, and so they'll start running, and I think that that's fantastic. That's obviously better than sitting on the couch. But I tell people all the time, if you want to optimize your health, I don't feel like that necessarily. Running long distance is the best way to do that, because I'm a big advocate in building muscle. I think muscle is the organ of longevity. I agree with everything you just said. You got to have, all those other things. Yeah, if you can't touch your toes, I mean, you're probably not, not very healthy. Specifically, I think for women, it's even more important because they naturally have less muscle, and as we age, nature works against us, and we lose muscle, and so we just really have to kind of fight against that, and so. I just not very long ago interviewed a woman who she used to do a lot of long distance running, and most long distance running will eat these high carbohydrate diets, which I'm not a fan of. And she was a little bit overweight, And so she got into the bodybuilding industry, and now she, you know, she competes. She looked fantastic. I mean, I don't know what her body fat was, but I mean, looked fantastic. But, you know, she's, you know, doing a lot more lifting. She was always scared of lifting. And again, I'm not saying there's anything bad with running, but I just see a lot of people who think that if they go and they run a half marathon and do nothing else, that they're going to be healthy. And I haven't seen that. What do you say to all that?
Yeah, so you just hit the nail on the head. So, you know, running is extraordinary. It's great for bone density. It's great for our heart and lungs. It's great for calorie burning. There's so many wonderful things that come from running. It's also a fantastic community of people, and not all of our running community actually runs. There's that 20% at the front of the pack that exclusively run. There's a big group of walk runners, and there's a big group of people who exclusively walk. But the sport of running itself is spectacular, and I don't have any problem with it. However, I have a major problem with the great majority of runners who exclusively run. That's where they screw up. But the running part is great, but they also need to do the strength training and the stretching and the balance work, which most fail to do. In fact, when I host races, I often do keynotes at pasta parties, and I'll do clinics during the expo. And my most popular clinic for runners is strength training for runners. My secondary would be pain prevention and management, which is all about balance training and stretching, and of course some foam rolling and so forth too. So running is great. I don't ever want to deter people from running. Running becomes a problem if that's your only thing you do, or if you're so foolish that you decide, I'm going to run through pain. I've got this thing going on. I mean, most runner pain is generated by tightness and weakness. And so, you know, if I have a 200 people in a room, runners for the weekend, and I'll say, okay, who here has some knee pain? You know, a great majority of the hands go up, and I'll say, okay, who had a traumatic twist or a fall? Very few hands go up. So we know that if we sent these people to physical therapy, that PT would diagnose and say, you know what, your glutes are really weak. You've got super weak glutes, and oh, you're super tight over here. So running's great. You just have to do more than run, or you'll pay the price for it eventually.
I'm curious because you talked earlier about, you know, kind of diet gimmicks and pills and that kind of thing. And as I'm sure you all know, there's a shot people are taking that's, you know, more and more people are taking it. As a physician, I get asked about it, probably every day. Just curious what your take is on that and what you advise people when they ask you about. And I'm talking about the semaglutide, which is kind of the generic name, and that's the Wegovy and the Ozempic and, you know, all those medications
Right.
that is kind of the new crave now.
Yeah, so I've learned to stay in my lane. I'm definitely not a doctor, nor am I a scientist doing research on these things, but know that I've seen people have success from personal stories people have shared with me. Some of their side effects from these shots relate are similar to the side effects I had while on chemo. Most folks aren't getting a shot and feeling great. They're feeling great. They're ballroom dancing. They're going out to parties. They feel so good. Most of them are losing weight because they can't eat. They're not feeling so good, and that daily nausea is a side effect. But there is no free pass. I've seen that they make you more prone to thyroid cancer. I mean, it's really scary stuff. So in my thoughts, if you are morbidly obese, which is equivalent to staring down the barrel of a gun, then okay, maybe you're going to take this shot, take this medicine, you're going to lose 150 pounds, and then now your weight isn't an immediate threat to your length and quality of life. And then once you get there, hopefully you've adopted the healthy habits to keep that off. If you're someone just trying to lose 25 pounds or 35 pounds and you're not willing to do the right thing, I would really reconsider, because there are some terrifying side effects to some of these medicines. And know that, you know, I know you feel like, oh, it would never happen to me. But yeah, if you have a stroke or you end up with cancer, it's not worth the exchange. So I think these drugs would be most valuable to people that are so overweight that their life is already in danger.
I have many concerns about it, but you know, one of them is I tell people all the time they do work. I will say that they work.
Yeah.
But all the other weight loss medicines that's come before this, as soon as you come off of them, you tend to gain the weight back. And so I personally don't like the thought of being on a medication the rest of my life. And so that's, I mean, I have several concerns with it, but that's one. Anyway, we don't have to talk about that. That was just,
no, it's interesting just though. It's a very interesting topic. And for so much of my career, I've been saying nothing works. I mean, there was a few, basic speed, but all those people were dropping dead of heart attacks. So hopefully people aren't going that route, but now there is medicine that will help you lose weight, but gosh, there are some miserable side effects and real dangers, right?
So I like asking people, especially like yourself, who are really into fitness, and you have been pretty much your whole life, and you've studied this stuff. You have a degree in it. Tell us what your daily routine is, and yeah, I feel like we can learn from you. And so, like, what do you eat during the day? What kind of exercise do you do? Just kind of walk us through a typical day.
Okay, so this is a great question. I'm a vegetarian. And I like
I'm teasing.
and I'm a vegetarian because I love animals. I don't have a strict policy against other people eating meat. It's just, I have friends that are chicken and I'm a bleeding heart and I just can't do it anymore. So I'm a vegetarian, but as far as eating goes, I wake up and it's a banana and quite often a Kind bar or the Sam's Club generic version of Kind bars, which I love. And I graze. If I'm home, I'm constantly grazing. I eat what is called counter food. All the food on my counter, I probably have 3 tangerines a day, 4 tomatoes. I just baked a potato in the microwave. I keep it simple, stupid. Either I'm eating stuff raw or I'm eating it straight out of the pan. I might put a pan full of broccoli and carrots and squash or something like that. I have a little pizza every now and then. Most of my calories, I would say, come from vegetables or potatoes. And I do not discriminate in the potato category. I will eat baked potatoes, mashed potatoes, hash browns. I like baked potato chips, you name it. A lot of water. I love decaf Diet Coke. And there's in my, that falls into my perfect boring category. I don't drink much alcohol. I almost never drink sugar, but boy, do I love Diet Coke. Caffeine kind of irritates me. It makes me pee 100 times a day. So I stick with decaf Diet Coke. And I mean, that's my boring day. I eat a lot of nuts and a lot of beans too. And then I wake up. If I'm at home, my days are pretty casual compared to me on the road. You know, most of my income is made on stages doing that type of work. So when I'm home, I wake up and I walk my dogs. I have 2 and I spend a good hour roaming around parks or trails with them. As far as workouts go, strength training is my number one priority. I did lose a lot of weight during cancer care and I'm still working on putting back that muscle. So out of the 14 pounds I've lost, I've put back about 7 pounds of muscle, which is great. I'd probably like to put on a few more. So strength training, and I do that religiously every other day. And I lift a heck of a lot of weight for a person my size. I am very aggressive about it. I am not swinging around 5-pound dumbbells. I've got 25s when I bench, and I do push-ups, and I do assisted pull-ups and lots of plyometrics. So strength training is the fountain of youth. I truly believe that. It'll boost your metabolism. It'll change the way your body looks, the way your body feels. And if you like curves, the curves that come from muscles are pretty incredible. And women, do not fear strength training. You are not likely to earn bodybuilder size muscles unless you're deliberately going after it. And that requires a lot of effort. That means you are purposely overdosing on protein, right? You're getting those shakes and you're eating 7 chickens a day and you're just really overdoing it. And then you're training in that way. I'm confident you can curl a 15-pound dumbbell without having to worry about, you know, manly arms or whatever it is you fear. And then as far as cardio goes, I vary it. I do a lot of running, but I do a lot of walking. I love swimming. I'm doing ballroom dancing now. There's a Dancing with the Stars competition I'm a part of. So I really enjoy dancing. And what else? I don't know. I stretch all the time, all day. Whenever I let my dogs out of the house, I drop down on the ground and I stretch my hips. And hips. That'll change the way you live if you stretch your hips appropriately. In fact, there's a great free little hip stretching video on fitness.com that'll help out anybody. And I do balance training while I'm brushing my teeth. I stand on one foot. What else does that answer? Oh, and I love sleep. If I could be in bed with my eyes closed, by 10-ish, everything is better. I love sleep. I'm so happy to close my eyes at night, and when I wake up in the morning, I look forward to going to sleep again.
Yeah, sleep is very important. No, that's great. Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, I think you may be the only vegetarian I've ever had on the show. So,
Is that right?
my listeners maybe are probably screaming at the
Oh. And so the difference is, I'm not telling them to give up their meat. That's where you piss people off, is when you stick your finger in their face. I'm saying you do you, but for me, I like my I'm I have too many chicken friends.
Fair enough. Yeah. We can maybe come back and have a friendly debate on
Sure.
I've had several carnivores on the show, but no vegetarians. So, but anyway, we can talk about that another time. So if you will, so you are a breast cancer survivor. I don't know how old you are, but you look very, very young. So I'm assuming you got breast cancer at a very young age. Talk about that if you would, because you wrote a book about it and talk about that and just kind of how, fitness integrated into your recovery from that and kind of give us maybe a brief summary of what the book is about.
Yeah, so I was diagnosed. It's interesting. I had a mammogram in late December 2018. Crystal clear. There was nothing there. About 7 weeks later, I was at a race weekend and I got out of the shower and I rubbed my underboob. Just I had an itch and I found a lump. And I knew right away I was in deep trouble. So I instantly picked up the phone, naked there in the bathroom, called the gyno. And that's what people have to know, is if you see something, you say something immediately. Your doctors are not mind readers. You have to put them in the loop. So I immediately called my doc and she said, "Can you come in tomorrow?" And I said, "I can't. I'm running a race tomorrow." She said, "How about Monday?" And okay. So within about a week, I had an appointment and a mammogram and an ultrasound. And at the ultrasound, the radiologist said, "Hey, you know what? This mass certainly looks suspicious, but you have three hard swollen lymph nodes I'm really concerned about." And so at that point, I knew what I was in for. And within a few days, I'd had the biopsy and they came back and the surgeon called and he said, "Fitz, I'm so sorry, but your mass is breast cancer, as are the lymph nodes. They're infected as well. And it is very aggressive. It is running through you like wildfire. We need to treat you immediately and aggressively." And they did. So I had 15 months of chemotherapy, which is a god-awful amount of time to have chemotherapy. I had 33 rounds of radiation. I had a lumpectomy. Thankfully, I escaped the full mastectomies, but it was brutal. It was absolutely brutal. It not only took my hair, it took my fingernails, it put my digestive system through a cheese grater. It was god awful, but I made some really good decisions while going through treatment. And that's why I wrote the first book. The first book is called My Noisy Cancer Comeback, and it's a memoir. And I wrote it because of all the wild and wacky things that happen when you combine cancer care with the travel and work that I do. So I decided from the get-go, I was not going to miss out on my career. Cancer was going to take my hair, it was going to take some of my good feelings, but it was not going to take my career. And so I boarded over 30 flights out of Gainesville, Florida during that time to go announce races and do keynotes and all sorts of wild things happened along the way. Most of it I thought was pretty freaking funny. I told people I had cancer, but I never told people about the hardships as I was experiencing them. I just thought my brand is about fitness and health and happiness. It's not about hardship and suffering. So I kept those gory details to myself during the time. But you know, as I was experiencing certain things, I would think, golly, people would get a kick out of this. They would really have a good laugh at my expense if they knew. And then when the real weird stuff started happening to me, I started questioning, why is nobody else talking about this? You know, there's all these other books out there on cancer. Nobody talks about your fingernails ripping off. Nobody talks about your eyes changing colors. My eyes changed colors. You know, there was all this wacky crap. And I thought, gosh, someone's got to talk about it. So there was that. And then because I had chosen to pursue my passions, I had these moments of, oh, it was just miraculous. I would sleep on the hotel bathroom floors because I was so sick. And that was really the worst of my experience, is that I had basically a violent stomach bug every day for 15 months, and live with that, live with food poisoning for 15 months. And you just start to get the idea of what I was dealing with. But I would sleep on those hotel bathroom floors, and then my alarm would go off at 4 or whatever. And I'd get up and I drag my bald little head out to my stages. And the second I stepped on those stages surrounded by runners or my audience, every single thing that was wrong with me disappeared. I wasn't sick. I wasn't suffering. I wasn't tired. All I got to feel was elation. I was so excited to be with these wonderful people I was serving in these incredible events. And it was so meaningful because so many people said, stay home. Oh my gosh, you can't travel with cancer. Wear a mask, hide out. And I thought, baloney. I know if I stay home, I'm only going to be sad. And if I had stayed home, I would have missed out on those incredible chunks of time where I got to feel normal, where I got to feel good and feel happy. And so, you know, guiding people towards pursuing their passions, whether it's sports or art or animal or accounting, you got to stay the course. When life hits the fan, when your house burns down, you got to go do something fun the next day. You can't just sit around and wallow in your misery. Did I cry? I cried every day because cancer was freaking hard and it was scary and it was difficult. But I also chose to get up and keep living. The other thing I chose was perspective. There are so many babies in hospitals with cancer. So I never had a why me moment. Why not me? Why if that baby has it, why can't I have it? And then I would just keep that in mind, that I was so fortunate not to be a kid with cancer. And I was even more fortunate that it wasn't my kids with cancer. And because of that, I put on my big girl panties every day. And if I needed to cry, I'd have a little cry and then I'd get on with it. And so my noisy cancer comeback is totally about mental fortitude. And then the next two books, Your Healthy Cancer Comeback, Sick to Strong, and The Healthy Cancer Comeback Journal, those stemmed because of a couple of things. And I'm talking a lot. Is that okay, Dr. Greg?
Keep going. Yeah, okay. You're fine.
I'm rambling on. So two things happen is I went in for my sixth round of the really mean chemo up front. That was about 20 weeks of the really mean chemo. And I go in for the final round of the mean stuff. And I see my doctor, Dr. Gordon, who I adore. And he says, Fitz, you are doing so great. I'm so proud of you. And I said, what? I am a mess. Every iota of my body has been obliterated in some regard. Why are you saying that? He said, no, Fitz, you're doing so great. And I said, why? Why would you say this? I mean, and I was a bit of a train wreck that day. I was really nervous about my round of chemo and just felt so bad. He said, Fitz, I'm not saying you haven't suffered. You have suffered tremendously. However, what I can tell you is if you were not so committed to health and fitness coming into this nightmare and committed to health and fitness going through it, you likely would have been hospitalized for more than one day. And I was hospitalized one day. He said, you likely would have been hospitalized for a month. I've given you the meanest chemo drugs I give anybody. And instead of being hospitalized and having a feeding tube and infections and all this stuff, you have been traveling around America, having more adventure than most healthy people do in a year. So I'm not suggesting you haven't suffered. I've seen it. I get it. But your commitment to health and fitness, nutrition, all of that has really paid off. I'm blown away by your success. And then so at that point, the light went off. And then I thought, oh, yay, my fitness stuff actually is working. And then I finished with the mean chemo and I went on to a different chemo we nicknamed Godzilla. But anywho, I had surgery. And then once I healed from surgery, I went back into the gym. And so the time I get back into the gym, it's kind of like the day where my mom is yelling at me. She's saying, you need to eat. You look like you're in the Holocaust. And I said, I know. What am I going to do? Right? I'm trying really hard. My stomach's a mess. And so I take my bald little skeleton body to the gym. And I'm really excited to be there. And I sit down on a machine to lift weights. And I put the pin in where it used to be. And I push. And nothing happens. That machine just stays put. So I lower the pin. Nothing happens again. I had to lower this thing. I had lost 80% of my strength. 80%. And so I'm sitting there on this machine just with my head spinning. You know, I'm so sad for me thinking, oh, this is awful. And it was about that time that if I was somebody other than fitness expert Fitz Kohler, I might have burst into tears and fled from the gym, got in the car, went home, cried all day. But instead, I thought, well, I know how to fix this. I'm a fitness expert. I am going to rebuild my body. I have no doubt. And in my mind, I had already designed this great physical comeback. And what happened is I executed it perfectly, and I ran the Boston Marathon a year after I finished treatment. Yay me. But more importantly, when I was sitting there on that machine in a daze, I started thinking about all of my peers, all of those millions of cancer patients and survivors all around the world, all different types of cancers, all different types of ages and genders, whatever. All of these people who were also being brutalized by cancer care, and they had absolutely no idea how to fix it, how to get their mojo back, how to get their strength and their stamina, their flexibility, mobility. They had no idea. And why? Because there was no material available for it. I looked on Amazon. There was no book guiding fitness, guiding people to use to weaponize fitness and nutrition to build back their body during cancer and get back to athleticism and full vibrancy after. And so I wrote it. I wrote Your Healthy Cancer Comeback, and it's doing so well. The books are purchased, I would say, most widely as gifts. So it's by people who are, they're scared for someone. They love someone with cancer and they think, I wish I could do something. So they buy them, they buy the healthy, Your Healthy Cancer Comeback and the Healthy Cancer Comeback Journal. I also love that oncologists are buying these books in bulk to give to their patients, and cancer centers have invested in them as well. So, you know, they're full color, they're layman's terms, they're easy to understand. They walk people through fitness from diagnosis through chemo, through radiation, through surgery, encouraging people to be compassionate with themselves and be patient, but also be determined. And it's not about doing what you used to do. It's about doing what you can when you can. And so some days exercise is simply going to look like walking down the hall at the hospital, trying to cover up your tush, right? That'll be your workout. Other days you might be able to do leg lifts in bed. You don't just lie there and, you know, lose muscle mass and strength. You can do something, even if it's an in-bed day. And then when you take a shower, there's, you know, dozens of photos on how to stretch in the shower. So the book's thorough and it's helping a lot of people. So I'm really proud of all three of them.
Yeah. Well, very nice. Well, thanks for talking about all that. So,
yeah.
Well, okay. As we wrap up here, I always ask my guests if they could give us one health tip that would make us healthier today. What would you say to that? Sometimes it's hard just picking one, but
just prepare your body to do battle today, because you never know when illness or injury will strike. And if exercise doesn't seem like a priority at the moment, or your weight or nutrition doesn't seem like a priority, know that if somebody looks at you, a doctor, maybe a nice doctor like Dr. Gray, says you have cancer or you have MS or whatever it is, there's nothing else in the world you want more than your health. So whether you get hit by a bus, struck by lightning, or diagnosed with a disease, you will be far more likely to recover and rebound more effectively and efficiently if you are healthy and strong going into any sort of crisis. So get to work today, make it happen. Your health matters. And if you need help, just reach out to me. I love to help.
Well, appreciate that. And so people can find you at fitness.com. I'll have that in my show notes, but it's FITZNESS. And I assume that's the best way to kind of find all your stuff. Your books are there and all that, correct?
Yeah. And I'm also at Fitness on all the social media channels. So anyone can reach out. And what I prefer is if you follow, great. I promise quality content and response. But really what I love is for you to comment and say, I heard you on Dr. Greg's podcast. And then we can be besties, because I'd much rather have friends than followers.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, thanks for just sharing your story and talking about what you do. I really appreciate everyone listening, and we will talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to FitRx. I invite you to share this with friends and family. If you would like, you can check out our website at vibrantlifedc.com, or you can email me at drgreg@vibrantlifedc.com.